Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, until evading the souls of Allegra, Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. One is why there is a real danger that the Arabs could eventually accept the so-called Middle East plans of Donald Trump or of his successor if he's defeated next year. Why there's a real danger of that. Why this feeling of confidence on the part of stupid Jews who say, oh, don't worry about it, the Arabs will reject it anyway. Why? That is a very dangerous gamble to take. And the second subject that we want to discuss is the presidential race, because it now seems pretty apparent that either Pete Buttigieg or Buttigieg, whatever the name of that sodomite is, that either he or the communist Bernie Sanders or Mike Bloomberg, one of these three disasters will be the Democrat nominee, the Democrat opponent of Trump, and what the implications are of that, because two out of the three are self-hating Jews, and why that would be an unmitigated disaster for the Jewish people, for Israel, for America, and for the world to have a self-hating Jew as president. But first, let's start off with the subject of Jews who always say, oh, I'm against a Palestinian state. I agree that would be suicide for Israel. I agree that would be a disaster. I don't want to give up Jewish land. I don't want to give up Israel's biblical heartland, which is what the Trump anti-Israel suicide plan calls for. I'm against all of that. But you see how brilliant Trump and Netanyahu are. They're proposing a plan that the Arabs are going to reject anyway. And not only are they going to reject it anyway, but we are going to get sovereignty, and we're going to get a declaration of sovereignty, of Israeli sovereignty, and Israeli annexation of Judea and Samaria as a result of this plan. Okay. First of all, the annexation and sovereignty argument has already been proven false. Netanyahu's promise to declare sovereignty last Sunday over Judea and Samaria has been broken. Like all of his promises, everything he says is a lie. There will be no declaration of sovereignty or annexation as a result of this plan. That's number one. That's already gone. That's already a promise that's been broken. And as far as we don't have to worry about it, before I even get to the argument, we don't have to worry about it because the Arabs are rejected anyway. Again, let me reiterate what we said last week, that even if that were true, the mere fact that you have a Jewish prime minister and stupid Jews like you Jews out there that support this plan, the mere fact that you're willing to say that you're willing to go along with this, with any surrender of land or even have any discussions of surrender of land, that is a chilul Hashem, that's a desecration of God's name. It is a sin, a mortal sin, to even fake it. Even if you were faking it, and Netanyahu, again, is not faking it by any means. The only time he's faking it is when he pretends to be for the land of Israel. That's the only time he's faking it, because he's already surrendered parts of the land of Israel, and he will gladly do it again. So, this is, no matter what, no matter how you look at it, this is bad. But, that Jewish argument that Jews fall back on, well, the Arabs will reject it anyway, has been proven false again and again historically. And now especially because the Arabs are terrified of Iran going nuclear, because of Netanyahu's cowardice and because of Trump's cowardice. Trump is not destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program either. Ted Cruz promised to do it, and other Republicans running were going to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program militarily, which can be done, by the way, in several hours. The U.S. Air Force in several hours can destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. That's the end of the danger of a nuclear Iran. Without losing a single soldier, without losing a single pilot or a single soldier, a single anything. But because Trump and Netanyahu are not going to do that, the danger of a nuclear Iran so terrifies the Arab countries surrounding Israel, they are so desperate that some of them are willing to go along with this type of plan and are willing to accept it. And let me make it very clear, if the Arabs accept the plan, Israel has already accepted it. Israel, the insane leaders of Israel, already accepted this suicidal plan. Netanyahu, predictably, already accepts it. If the Arab side accepts it, that will be such a disaster for Israel. The very survival of 6 million Israeli Jews will be in grave peril. Israel would go back to borders where she would be 6 to 9 miles wide along her waistline. It would be a catastrophe. I'm not going to run through all the points of how dangerous this is once again for you sick, ignorant, moronic, self-hating Jews that support this plan, including you Jews that claim to be right-wingers. You're not right-wingers. You're full of crap cowards. You're not right-wingers. You are full of crap cowards. And the Arabs are so desperate and so frightened. Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf countries, even Egypt and other Arab countries, are willing to accept plans like this now. They're willing to accept it. Because they're so terrified of Iran, they'll accept anything that the United States government tells them to do when it comes to something like this, when it comes to this type of plan. And so that fallback position, the Arabs are rejected anyway, that may not last very long. That may not last very long. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, others, there were signs of cracks in the Arab rejection of the plan. There is a real danger here that you could have another Anwar Sadat situation where Egyptian Nazi dictator Anwar Sadat pretended to be for peace and got Israel to surrender the entire Sinai, which was a disaster. That can happen again. And by the way, before the Sinai surrender, every Jew I spoke to, because this is the retarded generation we live in, every Jew I spoke to said to me, what are you worried about? Egypt is going to reject it anyway. Sadat's going to reject it anyway. You see how clever Menachem Begin is, that he's offering him the entire Sinai? There's no way he's going to accept it. No way. And they kept saying that until September 1978. From May 1977, when Begin was elected in the catastrophic election of 1977, when we were cursed with the Likud government, which is worse than the left-wing governments in Israel. The first time Israel was cursed with a Likud government, with that cursed leader, Menachem Begin, in May 1977, until September of 1978, a year later, about a year and a half later, when Jimmy Carter, the Jew-hating peanut farmer, invited Sadat, the dictator of Egypt, and Begin of Israel to Camp David for negotiations. And then Begin again, Sadat had rejected. He said, no way am I going to accept this. I will never accept just this. I will never accept getting just the Sinai, in quotes. I want every Israel has to go back to the pre-1967 borders in Judea and Samaria, the Golan. I will not accept a separate deal where Israel gives us the Sinai. I will not accept it. I reject it completely. Sadat kept saying that cleverly until the Camp David negotiations. They go to Camp David, and Begin again offers it to him, confident that he'll never accept it anyway. We're not going to have to give away the whole vital Sinai. I won't have to do this. And all the Jews, certain, oh, that Begin, he's such a genius. He's showing them. And what happens? Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, and I was his, you know, I mean, I was the guy working with Rabbi Kahana here in the United States at the time, running the JDL for him at the time. Rabbi Meir Kahana and the people and those of us in the Kahanist movement, we were right. And all the other Jews were wrong. All the other Jews were wrong. All the other Jews who said, Begin is so clever, they'll never have to give the Sinai away. And I'm talking about the so-called right-wing Jews that didn't want to give away the Sinai. They're so clever, they'll never have to do that. The Egyptians and Sadat have already rejected it. What are you talking about? And then at Camp David, they get together. Sadat and Begin and Carter get together. And all of a sudden, Sadat says, I changed my mind. I'll accept it. And Begin, you should have seen his face immediately after that. I mean, he pretended to go along and smile and everything else, but it hurt him bad. It's one of the reasons why, you know, he had health problems in the last few years of his life, because he knew that what he did in surrendering the Sinai was a terrible blow to the Jewish people. He knew it, that schmuck. But anyway, he was a coward and a schmuck, by the way. He was a coward and a schmuck. He might have been brave in the Irgun when he was a commander of the Irgun, but as a leader, as a prime minister, he was a terrible coward, as all the Israeli prime ministers have been. All of them. The minute they become prime minister, they melt when the Goyim ask them to surrender something. They just can't stand up and say no. And by the way, if Begin was a coward, Netanyahu is 1,000 times more cowardly than Begin ever was. 1,000 times worse. And so all of Sinai was given away. And all the Jews who said, no, the Egyptians are going to reject it anyway, were all wrong. Same thing with Oslo. The PLO terrorists, we should always offer to negotiate with everybody. The PLO terrorists will never negotiate with us. They've rejected it. They rejected it a million times. They rejected it. In Oslo, they didn't reject it. They went along with it. And look what happened. We got Oslo. We got the catastrophe of Oslo. And now again, the Jews are relying on the Arabs are going to reject it. The Arabs reject because God miraculously gives us enemies that are even dumber than the Jews sometimes to save us. This is Hashem. This is God saving his people from their own insanity, from their own suicidal tendencies. But you can't always count on that because sometimes God loses his patience with the Jewish people, if it's possible to describe it that way. God, of course, is a perfect being. He doesn't have feelings and he doesn't have patience and doesn't work that way. But anyway, God sometimes decides to say, you know what? You keep saying this and saying this and saying this. I'm going to show you what it's going to be like. I'm going to prove to you how wrong you've been, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to have you play this out as a punishment for you to teach you a lesson. God forbid that that should happen now. God forbid we pray that Hashem not do that. We pray that Hashem have mercy on us and not do that. But the danger exists and we see the cracks. We saw the cracks already developing. We already saw Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf countries already embracing in a half-hearted way the plan. And we saw three Arab countries from the Persian Gulf attending the Trump-Netanyahu press conference where they announced this disastrous plan. So the more clever Arabs understand that this would be disastrous for Israel and suicidal for Israel. And also because of their desire to please the American administration and to go against Iran, they're willing to go along with this. They want to get this out of the way so that Iran will be taken care of and they'll be protected from Iran. That's their number one priority, and that's very, very dangerous. Very dangerous for Israel and for the Jewish people. Very dangerous. The possibility that when Abu Mazen dies, I mean, I think he's in his early 80s. I don't even know what his age is. I think he's in his early 80s. But when he drops dead, or you have some other Arab leader that decides to go, you have some other Arab terrorist leader in Ramallah or wherever that decides to go along with this, all types of scenarios are possible now. Because Israel has already accepted this and has already gone on record as accepting these types of concessions, as far as the self-hating sick Jews are concerned and as far as the world is concerned, this is already written in stone. When the Jews accept something, when the Arabs accept something, they can change and violate and do anything, break any promise, they could do anything they want and get away with anything. When the Jews accept something, it's already written in stone, even if the other side rejected it already. Israel's constantly told, you must abide by the Oslo agreements, even though the other side has violated every single letter and word of the Oslo agreements. Before the Oslo agreements were even signed, before the ink even dried, they were already murdering Jews after promising to end all terrorism. But Israel, the world always demands of Israel, and all the self-hating Jews always demand of Israel, you must abide by the Oslo agreements. And so we've gotten nothing but bad things out of all of this. Nothing but bad things. Having said that, so we're in a very bad situation here. We're in a really bad situation here. And the only real answer, of course, is new leadership for Israel. If JTF had millions of dollars, and instead of thousands of dollars that we spend on our advertising campaign to reach thousands of Jews, every single week we reach thousands of Jews with our message. But if we had millions and we were reaching and we were reaching millions of Jews all the time with our message. Believe me, a lot of the things I tell you do resonate with Jews when they hear it, when they hear it explained the way I'm explaining it. A lot of Jews do respond to this and do understand what I'm speaking about. But anyway, the bottom line is this. We're in a lot of trouble, and there's always a lot of danger, and we are depending here now on Hashem's mercy, because none of the Jewish leaders are doing what's right. We depend on Hashem's mercy to keep the Arabs rejecting it and to prevent the Jews from doing something. And already, the disastrous aspects of the plan, though, are already in effect in terms of the building freeze. There is a building freeze that Netanyahu has for a whole decade already on Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and Jerusalem. By the way, Jerusalem was annexed in 1967, and still Netanyahu does not allow Jewish building in East Jerusalem. So, you know, annexation, sovereignty, all this talk is meaningless with these self-hating Jews in power. Meaningless. Until you have a true Kahanist in power, someone like Rabbi Kahana, or one of his true followers, until you'd have that one of his true followers, not Ben Gvir or one of these phony opportunists who are just looking for a Knesset seat, but one of his true followers, until they're in power, we're going to continue to have crisis after crisis and danger after danger. So what's our job? Our job, I mean, if I were in Israel, they wouldn't allow me to run. They don't even allow me to step foot in Israel. They certainly wouldn't allow me to run, because they know that if I were able to run and really speak the way I want to speak to the people of Israel, they know that I would get into the Knesset and that I would become a political force in Israel. The way I'm speaking to you, yes, I would get votes in Israel. I wouldn't get the majority at first, but I would get a solid minority of Israelis who have a little common sense at least, and eventually we would rise to the top and we would get in power, and they know it. And that's why they banned Rabbi Kahana, and that's why they don't let me set foot in Israel. All the other Kahanists, oh, they can run, they can do, you know. Even some of the phony Kahanists they're banning. They ban even some of the phony Kahanists, but they allowed them before to run. Me, they won't even let set foot in Israel. Not because they're afraid I'm going to do something illegal, but they're afraid of what I'm going to do that's legal. Go out and persuade people to vote against them and throw them out of office, which is supposed to be legal in a democratic country. That's what they're afraid of, because that's the only thing I would do if I were in Israel. That's the only thing I would do if I were in Israel. And that's what they don't want. And those of you who worship Donald Trump, you know, I have to mention this. I know this is going a little bit of a switch, but those of you who worship Donald Trump, Jews and Gentiles here, you know, just to he's such an immoral, disgusting, ignorant buffoon, such a disgusting, big fat orange clown. He goes to the National Prayer Breakfast yesterday. I'm doing this program on Friday. On Friday, February 7th, we're recording this program. He goes to the National Prayer Breakfast, where people are supposed to get together to pray. Now, of course, I would never attend the prayer breakfast. I cannot pray together with Christians, because Christians pray to an idol. I can't pray, you know, they pray to a human being who they say God died on a cross. I can't pray together with people like that. I can't, because they're praying to an idol. We're not allowed to pray together with people like that. But in any event, nevertheless, people are supposed to be coming together for prayer. It's supposed to be an occasion where it's for prayer, and presidents and other leaders are invited to speak. So it's supposed to be a pretty serious occasion. And Donald Trump, in his remarks, uses obscenities. He said BS, and he said the word. He actually said the word, not like I'm saying it. He actually said the word BS at a prayer breakfast. I mean, what a filthy-mouthed slob, a filthy-mouthed orange slob. And for you people, especially those of you who claim to be evangelical Christians and those of you who claim to be Orthodox Jews, how you can continue to worship such a foul-mouthed piece of sewage like this and believe that God would bless someone who does these terrible things and represents this immorality, in the long term, it's going to be disastrous. It's going to be disastrous in the long term. America's debt is building up and it's going to explode. America's continuing to become a third world banana republic, even under Donald Trump. At his State of the Union address, all he did is honor Schwarzes. That's all, the only people he honored were blacks. This black kid has to go to school for a scholarship. What a waste of money. And I'm not against them, blacks, because of the color of their skin. I have nothing against them, and they're righteous. They're very few, but there may be some exceptions in righteous blacks. But as a whole, black people have not accomplished anything in history as a whole. Okay, they're the most primitive, ignorant people in history, despite what Hollywood and everybody else tells us. They're ignorant, primitive, violent, jealous people who accomplish nothing. And everything that they have in American society is because the white man gave it to them or taught them or whatever. Everything. They've contributed nothing. All they've contributed is crime and problems. And Donald Trump is continuing this false narrative about we have to give black scholarships and we have to raise black standards and black unemployment and black this and black that and black. He's not challenging any of the things that will really cause the rot and destruction of America from within. He's not challenging that. He is accentuating it and building it up and making it acceptable on the right. The same thing with the gays. Okay? Donald Trump supports the sodomite agenda. He said it was wonderful, wonderful that Pete Buttigieg, okay, Pete the Booty, is married to another man. Married in quotes. He said it was wonderful. I mean, how far have we gone downhill? Every country, every empire, every society that has accepted these perversions has collapsed and been destroyed in the end. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the Bible, then it's all a bluff. You are a bluff. You are a bluff if you think it's okay to use obscenity at prayer breakfast, if you think it's okay to support the sodomite agenda and say it's wonderful that men marry other men, if you and adopt children, which is child abuse, two perverts adopting children in their homes, and you know there's a lot of pedophilia that goes on in those homes also, these perverts. And to say that's okay, and it doesn't bother you, and you have no concern about that, and you Orthodox Jews that trust someone like this, slimy person like this, and you think that he has the best interests of Israel at heart, what are you, stupid? What are you, insane? But, as bad as it is, the Democrats are worse. We have no alternatives. The Democrats, in the case of Israel, I think Netanyahu is worse than the open left. I would rather see Benny Gantz as prime minister than Benjamin Netanyahu. Benny Gantz is terrible. I despise him. Okay? When he drops dead, I'll spit on his grave. That's what I think of him. He's a rat and an animal and a traitor. And yet, because he's identified as left wing, he would have a harder time implementing a suicide plan like this than the phony right, than someone like Netanyahu. As we've explained this program many times before, the phony right in Israel, over 90% of the surrenders of Jewish land since the 1967 Six-Day War have taken place under phony right Likud governments, not under the left. So in Israel, the phony right is more dangerous than the left, and so I want Netanyahu to lose this election that's coming up next month. And I'm glad he's been indicted. He should rot in prison like he's made good Jews, Jewish heroes, rot. It should happen to him. Everything he's done to good Jews should happen to him and his family and his evil family. But anyway, here in America, my issue is Israel, the survival of Israel. Okay? And when it comes to survival of Israel, here in America, you have the phony right, you have Trump, and then you have the open left, the Democrats, the commies. In America, for Israel, for the Jews, the communist Democrats are actually worse. On that, and here in America, it's different in that respect. For us as Jews, and for supporters of Israel, for righteous Gentiles who support Israel, the Democrats are worse than Trump. And so we have no choice. As bad as everything I've been telling you is, the Democrats are actually worse than Trump. We have no choice but to support Trump and to defeat his opponent. And I'll give you a couple of examples of why. In his State of the Union address, when Trump gave his State of the Union address, it was about an hour and a half. I didn't time it exactly, but I think it was about an hour and a half. Only two lines only two lines on his Middle East plan. So this is not a big prayer, and it was way into the speech, like way into toward the end of the speech. It was only two lines in the whole speech. This is not a giant priority for this guy. And that's good for us. He's not going to do what Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama with his Secretary of State John Kerry, the other self, whose father comes from a Jewish background, so he has that self-hating Judenrat characteristic in him. He's not going to do what the past three Democrat presidents have done, which is pressure Israel day and night, obsessively, to commit suicide. That's what Jimmy Carter did, and that's why Israel lost the Sinai. Jimmy Carter pushed and pushed and pushed to get Israel to give up the Sinai and succeeded. And Bill Clinton, with the Oslo agreements, and pushing and pushing, and nearly got Israel to give up everything. Okay, thank God Hashem protected us, and the Arabs rejected the Clinton's plan that the Israeli government had accepted to give up Jerusalem and give up everything. But Clinton obsessively pressured Israel continuously. It was an obsession of his, just like it was for Jimmy Carter. And then the next Democrat president, the Muslim Jew hater, Barack Hussein Osama. Barack Hussein Osama also immediately started pressuring Israel, immediately got the building freeze in place with Netanyahu, and then sent his Secretary of State, John Kerry, to the Middle East a million times, back and forth, trying to get a deal. So this is very dangerous. All three Democrat presidents we've had, all three of the past Democrat presidents have all done the same thing to Israel. Okay? So this is, there's no question we're going to get this again if we have another Democrat in the White House, God forbid. They are worse than Donald Trump. They're worse. And Trump only mentioned two lines in his State of the Union address. Now, you know, if that disgusting homo booty edge, if he was in the White House, you know, we'd see much more than two lines in the State of the Union. We'd see him pushing this aggressively. And he, unlike Trump, can find Israel and can find these countries on a map. He happens to be intelligent. He's evil. He's evil. And I wish the worst for him. He's a cursed evil animal, but he's intelligent. Trump is not even intelligent. Trump couldn't find Israel on a map. And so, for a Democrat, this will be a major focus of their administration, as it was for the past three Democrats who were elected to the White House. We can't afford that. And one of the who are going to be the Democrats? Which Democrat now is going to run against Trump? Iowa actually did clarify things, despite the fact that it was a catastrophic communist mess. Everything these communists do always turns into a mess. Despite the fact that it was a catastrophic mess, I think we can know with relative certainty now, at least I think, that one of three evil people will be the Democrat nominee to run against Trump. It'll either be the homo booty judge, or it'll be Bernie Sanders, the Jewish communist, or it'll be Mike Bloomberg, the Jewish billionaire who wants to straighten out the whole world, who gave us 17 different colors for our garbage. We couldn't put our garbage out. We had to have 17 different colors. Purple for this, orange for this, green for this. He was giving people fines if they didn't put green or purple or orange or this. You couldn't find the bags even for all the colors that he did. I mean, just such a sick person, this Bloomberg. And if, God forbid, someone like that becomes president, can you imagine how he would micromanage the Middle East negotiations and how he would get involved? He would show as a Jew, how he's going to bring peace to the Middle East and how I would never harm Israel. What a disaster that would be, God forbid. Disaster. Disaster. It's like the Henry Kissinger situation. Where Henry Kissinger, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim V'Yirkav, may his name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. Henry Kissinger, when he became Secretary of State, at that time, it was politically incorrect to be against Israel. People supported Israel at that time. Even the media was pro-Israel, because it was 25, 30 years after the Holocaust. And also the and also because the Arab world was openly saying they're going to push the Jews into the sea and commit genocide. So people were pro-Israel in those days. The politicians were pro-Israel. At least pretended to be. Phony, but pretended to be pro-Israel. And so you had senators and congressmen who went up to Kissinger and said to him, why are you pressuring him? What is it? You're pressuring Israel to give up land now after the Yom Kippur War. Why are you pressuring Israel to give up land on the Golan Heights and the Sinai? What are you pressuring Israel for? And they were defending Israel against Kissinger's pressure. These were Gentile senators and congressmen defending Israel against this Judenrat, capo, filthy, disgusting so-called Jewish refugees' pressure on Israel. He was a so-called Jewish refugee from Devor. And Kissinger said to the Jewish senators and congressmen, he met with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee in closed-door session, not in public. He met with them in the Senate Armed Services Committee, and they were complaining to him. They were saying, you shouldn't be pressuring Israel. They're our allies. What are you doing? And he said to them, would I, a Jew, harm the Jewish state? I who escaped Nazi Germany, harm the Jewish state? That convinced them. It gave them an out, because many of them were latent anti-Semites. So it gave them an out also, to also join in the pressure on Israel. That changed the whole atmosphere. Kissinger is the one that started this situation where it became okay for senators and congressmen and media to bash Israel, attack Israel, pressure Israel, demand Israeli suicidal concessions. That started under Kissinger. He started it. If there had been a Gentile Secretary of State, they would not have succeeded in doing it, certainly not to the degree that Kissinger succeeded, because he used his Jewishness to pressure Israel. And Bloomberg or Sanders would do the same thing. They'd say, would I, a Jew, harm Israel? Of course not. Israel has to give up Jerusalem. Israel has to go back to the pre-67 suicide borders. Israel has to be 6 to 9 miles wide. Israel has to surrender everything for peace. I just want peace. Isn't peace good for Israel? Don't we want peace? This is the ultimate nightmare. Aside from the fact, what a chilul Hashem that would be, what a desecration of God's name that would be, to have a Jewish president, to put a self-hating Jew in charge of the United States government. What a catastrophe that would be. So you know, if Sanders or Bloomberg get the Democrat nomination, we will drop everything and work day and night to defeat them. That will be our number one priority, because that would be an unmitigated nightmare for the Jewish people, to have one of those Judenrat capo pieces of subhuman excrement polluting the office of the White House. And so that's the situation we're in. And yet, as I tell you all the time, because, you know, this sounds like a pretty grim message, and it is a grim message right now because the Jews are acting badly. But all of it was predicted. And in the end, those of you who get discouraged when you hear all of this, just remember, in the end, for certain, we're going to win. For certain. The prophets, the Hanevi'im, the prophets in the Bible, God promised us for certain. In the end, he's going to wake the Jewish people. Something's going to happen, and he's going to wake the Jewish people up and turn them around. And all of a sudden, everything will turn around. And then he will intervene on behalf of Israel and the Jewish people, and that will lead to the final redemption of the world. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of Milchemet Gog u'Magog, the war of Gog and Magog. I'm not going to go into that now, the history of all of that, or what's predicted and so on. But in the end, we're going to win. We're going to win in the end. But until that time, look at the terrible suffering and bloodshed and disaster that we can have in the world. Look at how many millions of Jewish souls will be lost, because Jews who betray their people will have no place in the next world. Their souls will be lost. So we're talking about saving the souls of millions of people. And we're talking about saving many lives that could be lost, because there could be a lot of bloodshed until then. In the end, we're going to win, but there could be terrible suffering and terrible catastrophe and terrible, terrible tragedies until then. And it is our job, it's our mission in life to prevent that and to bring the redemption as fast as possible and as painlessly as possible. We could bring it. If the Jews did the right thing, it would be completely painless. It would happen. The Messiah, the Mashiach, the real Mashiach, not somebody who preaches idolatry, but the real Mashiach. And by the way, Jesus never said that he was God. This is something that was changed many years after Jesus, many years after the death of Jesus, who was never crucified, by the way. That's also a lie. He was never crucified. Complete myth. But Jesus, after the death of Jesus at the time, never said that he was God. But I don't want to go into that right now. It was the paganistic Europeans who couldn't accept. They couldn't accept this Jewish concept of an invisible, singular God. They couldn't accept. They had to have. So Paul introduced what's called Pauline Christianity, where he introduced the concept of Trinity. Okay, and I'll give you somebody who became a man, so you have something physical you could worship. You don't have to worship some invisible God. Because in the Jewish religion, of course, you can't see anything involving God because God is perfect. If you can see him, that's a limitation. God is unlimited. He's completely eternal and all-powerful. He cannot become anything physical. He cannot become anything limited. And he cannot be divided into trinities or anything else. He's completely, completely one. But anyway, the bottom line is, we will win in the end. I don't know if any people watching this program will live to see it, because it could happen 100 years from now, 200 years from now. But we will eventually win. And in the meantime, it's our job to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, something no black defendant has ever done in a courtroom. But anyway, maybe there are some exceptions to the rule, but if they are, they're very rare. And if you notice, by the way, I'm speaking more freely now about blacks, about homosexuality, about different religions. I'm speaking more openly now than I was on YouTube, because on YouTube they censored everything I said. Now I'm on a site that claims that they're not going to censor you if you tell the truth. I hope that they live by that, but anyway, but at least I am speaking, and this move to BitChute was certainly a good move for us. By the way, we get more views on BitChute than we got on YouTube, because YouTube rigs their algorithm and rigs their system against us and hides us and cuts off our views and cuts off... people used to make comments, and their comments would disappear. And no matter what we did there, and of course they've taken down hundreds of our videos. Screw them. We don't need them. And again, that's our English language campaign, which is secondary to the Hebrew. Our main thing, our main interest is Hebrew. That's what we're really interested in. So what YouTube has done, we don't care about that. We're not interested in that, what YouTube has done to us. We're happy where we are now on BitChute, and hopefully we'll build up an audience here on BitChute, hopefully. And by the way, if people want to put our videos, want to take these videos and put them on other sites, on other sites that have, you know, free to do it. You're free to do it. You know, be my guest. In the meantime, the truth that you're hearing on this program is a truth that we are bringing to the people of Israel through an extensive advertising campaign. Thousands of Israeli Jews see our messages every single week and are exposed to at least a little truth for a change. Isn't that important? Isn't that something that makes life worthwhile, knowing that you're bringing a little light in a world of darkness? Of course it's important. It's essential. And that's why you're in the right place with JTF. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.